Memento Mori, remember your death, Memento Mori, which I have always thought, or recently have come to think of, that it could be a call and response. So one could say, Memento Mori, remember your death, and the response could be, Memento Vivere, remember to live. Memento Mori, Memento Vivere. And indeed, the tension between living and dying is the very tension in which we find ourselves today. Every moment of our life, a tension between the reality that we are called to a different world, and yet we are currently in this reality, that death enables us to enter into that next reality, and yet God desires to work with us and cooperate with us in this world. I've been kind of busy today. I was downtown and this morning for the ordination of 4 new transitional deacons for the Archdiocese of Louisville, and so we were able to celebrate that sacrament. And then I rushed out to Oldham County and presided over a wedding, actually of a young lady and her now husband. This young lady served in my first Mass 7.5 years ago, so I told her, really, I was just repaying her for her kindness to me all those years ago. And it's a beautiful thing, but I watched 6 people give their lives away today. I watched 6 people say, until death, promise, do these things, love as I've been called to love, until death. And in so many ways, isn't this a recognition of that tension of the Christian life, to live into it, not flee from it, but to live into this tension between life and death. We even hear from the prophet Ezekiel today, he says, O my people, I will open your graves. O my people, I will open your graves. The Lord desires to raise us from death to life. The Lord desires to give us life in abundance, and yet does not wish to simply relieve us of that which we experience, but to cooperate with us in this life, which is why there's pain and suffering, and to welcome us into eternal life, where we will be free from all of that which binds us here. Indeed, the language of binding we find in our gospel today. One of the last lines we hear in the Gospel of John is Jesus telling those who are surrounding Lazarus as he's kind of like a mummy, kind of coming out of the tomb. I always kind of picture him just kind of shuffling forward. And he says, untie him and set him free. Untie him and set him free. My personal favorite translation of that verse is unbind him. I got it backwards, didn't I? So Jesus says in this translation, untie him and let him go. My favorite translation, unbind him and set him free. Unbind him and set him free. And indeed, in many ways, this is the vocation of a priest, that we are sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of Christ, to recognize the sinfulness and the ways in which we can be held back from love of God, and to unbind them and set them free, which isn't always easy, especially if we want to be bound and we don't want to be set free. That's a difficult road to follow, and yet it's what God commanded those who surrounded Lazarus to do with Lazarus, and what he continues to call us to do today in our world. There's been much written about that other line in the gospel about Lazarus and his resurrection from the dead, the shortest line in all of Scripture, the shortest verse, I should say, the shortest verse in all of Scripture. He wept. He gets his entire verse all by itself. He wept. much ink has been spilled over the years about why did he weep? Why was he crying? What moved Jesus at that part? Because we don't hear elsewhere that Jesus wept, necessarily. We can presume that he probably did at the death of his earthly father, St. Joseph. He probably shed some tears at the pain and suffering that he encountered through his ministry. He probably shed some tears. And yet, at this point, it is recognized in a specific way that he wept. Like I said, there's many theories as to why he wept. Some about bringing that Lazarus had died, that Jesus' friend, that he's experiencing this, that Jesus has to do this, was one theory that one author had. The one that's most problematic, I think, was somebody saying that he was weeping because he had to bring him out of paradise back into this reality. The problem with that, though, is that Jesus hasn't died yet and opened the gates of paradise, so I'm not entirely sure where that author was going. What we know is, sure, that he wept. And maybe that's because he's fully human. And if anyone ever asks you, at the moment of weeping, of true mourning for someone who has passed, why are you crying? The answer would probably be both simple and complicated at the same time. Jesus wept. He was there with them. And yet he knew that death was part of the story and that it wouldn't be the end. For our part, and St. Paul speaks of it today in his letter, we are called into humility. We are called into the humility of dying to ourselves, because Paul is talking here in the letter to the Romans, that if we're alive in the flesh, then we're still dead to sin. And so, in a real way, we are called upon to die to ourselves. Memento mori. Remember your death. In many ways, this is almost like a church slogan for you only live once. YOLO. No? You only live once. Remember, you're going to die. The reality that we are called into, we are invited through this season of Lent. As we approach passion and death and resurrection of Christ, to die more and more to ourselves. This is part of the reason why we veil the images, because death itself is a veil. It hides the reality behind it. The reality of eternal life comes. It is a covering. Death is but that which separates us from God's eternal plan for us. And we are called in this life to die to ourselves, to inherit eternal life. Saints throughout the years have had the desire to die for Christ. Saints throughout the years have had a real desire, a burning desire to walk to the Holy Land and die for Christ. St. Francis of Assisi, for one, had this desire. St. Ignatius Loyola, and I believe St. Teresa of Lisieux, all of them had this desire to die for Christ. Them and more. And St. Thomas, we could say, is the first one who kind of exhibited that thought. St. Thomas the Apostle, there's that other little line in our Gospel today, let us therefore go up to die with him. He's very positive at this point. Let us go to die with him. Thomas is recognizing that we, when we follow Christ, we must, in some way, die to ourselves. In reading and reflecting on this desire for martyrdom, this desire to die for Christ, one author pointed out that it's easy to die. It's easy to die for Christ. The difficulty comes in living for Christ. In that sense, the martyrs had it easy. Their death, as painful as it could have been in the moment, was a finality. What awaited them on the other side, assured by their gift of their life for Christ and his glory. We, for our part, are called to die to ourselves today and every day. I invite you, dear brothers and sisters, as we continue this season of Lent, the way to die to yourself, the thing that's almost as scary as death, is admitting your sin. Say to another human person, this is what I've done. This is what I have failed to do. And to be set free in the sacrament of confession,